if the devil is your father, if he's the one calling the shots in your life, guess what? He's going to take it right on into your marriage. And there will be issues. And the Bible tells us, right? I'm scriptural. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is supposed to be fellowship, and we'll talk about that, and harmony within the marriage. Even a husband and a wife. Glory to God. I'm so glad if we have an issue or something that's bothering us, we can pray about it together because we have the same daddy.
Amen.
We have the same father. But now let me move on. Now this is where I want you to see. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. That's where I want to go. The first epistle of John. First John, and I'll begin reading at the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. And listen to what he says here. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, the Apostle John is saying here, I was there. I was one of the 12. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have, now listen, grab a hold of this, that you also may have fellowship with us. Let me stop right there for a moment. In a family, there are two things that takes place. Well, the first one is relationship. We use this term, are you related to them? Are you related to her? Are you related to him? What we're actually saying is this person in your family? Is this person a member of your family? Are you related? Let me tell you something. You'll always be related to your mother. You'll always be related to your dad. You'll always be related to your brothers and your sisters because you were born into the same family.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I said, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But just because you were born into the same family does not mean that you have fellowship together.
Right.
Or that you're walking in fellowship together.
Right.
And that's what God wants in his body. So let's continue on. Verse 3 again, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And listen to what he says. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And listen what he says. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Grab a hold of that for a moment. He says, I'm writing this to you. I'm giving you these instructions so that your joy may be full. Let me tell you something. We must have fellowship with God, but we must have fellowship with one another. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to divide and conquer. You've heard me say this before, and I'll repeat it again today. I thank God for technology. Excuse me. There are some folks that's watching this service tonight that they're not here, but they're watching this service. And they're able to do that because of technology. But the internet should never take the place of us gathering together.
Amen.
Because the folks that are watching, I'm glad they're watching, but I can't fellowship with them. They hear the word of God that I'm ministering, but I can't fellowship with them. I can't shake their hand. I can't speak to them, and they can't speak to me. Listen to me. Fellowship is a powerful thing. And let me finish this. Verse 5 says, for this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we what? Have fellowship with, wait a minute. We have fellowship with who?
One another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God he has black children. He's got white children. He's got Asian children. And many, many more. And let me tell you, doesn't matter what race you are.
Amen.
If you are born again into the family of God through Jesus Christ, we are family.
Amen.
And guess what God expects from us? He expects us to act like we're family. Love like we family. God expects us to fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Because we are the children of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus himself said, the world will know that we are his because of our love for one another.
Amen.
We don't have time for foolishness.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Folks are dying and going to hell every day.
Amen.
While we're sitting around fussing and arguing about things that don't even matter that much. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the heart that we should have. Bringing more people into the family of God. Doesn't matter that they don't look like us. But if the devil can keep us divided, he can keep mess going on. You're still here?
Amen.
Glory be to God. And it's important that we fellowship together. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there. Hebrews the 10th chapter. And I got to get there too. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look. Excuse me, at verse, let me see where I want to pick it up. This is so good. I may teach this whole 10th chapter one evening or one day. I'll just pick it up at verse 21, okay? And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what?
Faithful.
He's what?
Faithful.
For he who promised is faithful. But let's look at verse 24. Verse 24, put it on the screen. Read that for me out loud on three. One, two, three. Read that again.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works.
And let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. That's fellowship, isn't it?
Amen.
But that's not all it said. There's another verse, verse 25. Put verse 25 up there. Now on three, read it nice and loud. One, two, three.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Hallelujah. Now let me read it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now remember, verse 24 said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. I'm determined I'm not going to be in the song. but exhorting one another. Because listen, we are children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We're part of the same family, and we are to fellowship with one another by what? Exhorting one another. And listen to this. By the way, exhorting one another in the Word of God.
Amen.
Exhorting one another in the Word of God. When a brother or sister have a problem or an issue that they are dealing with, we can come and exhort them. Say, brother, my sister, God's on your side. This is what he promised us.
Yeah.
Or brother, sister, let's pray together about this. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm standing with you. You're not in this by yourself.
Yeah.
You're my brother. You're my sister. I'm standing with you. I'm standing in faith with you. I am praying for you.
Yes. Amen.
And then we speak encouraging words to one another.
Amen.
To help build their faith.
Yes. Amen.
Y'all still here?
Yeah.
So he said, but exhorting one another, and listen, we're not to slack up. We're not to slow down. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. Who knows what day that is? The coming of the Lord.
Amen.
The coming of the Lord. The catching away of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we can't do this without fellowship.
Amen.
If you see a brother or sister broken, maybe they lost a loved one or something happened. We see them broken. You have to be where they are.
Amen.
In order to grab them and embrace them.
Yes.
Maybe they need to cry on your shoulder.
Amen.
As you pray for them and encourage them.
Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters. We have been called by God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, to encourage one another in the things of the Lord.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen.
Sometimes folks get so burdened down. Now I'm talking about Christians. Sometimes they get so burdened down, things going on, whatever, and you know. And they're thinking about quitting.
Amen.
Hear what I'm saying. It's easy to quit when you think nobody cares.
Amen.
It's easy to quit when you think or believe that nobody cares about you. Hallelujah. So we are to assemble ourselves together. Come to church, bring somebody with you. But you don't have to wait till you get to church to encourage them. You can encourage them on your job. You can encourage them at Walmart. You can encourage them at the restaurant, wherever you may be. Just speak an encouraging word. You'd be surprised the difference it will make in that person's life because they know somebody cares.
Amen.
Somebody care. That's all part of fellowship. This cannot be a hands-off thing. thing. And like I said, you know, God created us to interact with one another. Praise God. You still here? All righty, let me. So I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, hallelujah. 21st chapter. Now, you know a good way to fellowship with one another? One good way, it ain't the only one, but one good way to fellowship with one another is to have some food present. Oh yeah. Have some food. Now I'm not saying every time. You know, you can't always have food, but as a church, I don't want us to ever stop coming together and fellowshipping around the table. So I want to show you something here in John the 21st chapter. I'll just begin reading at the first verse. It says, after these things, now this is the resurrected Christ. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus asked them. Put verse 5 on the screen. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, anybody know who that is?
John.
That's John, the writer of this book. Amen. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and listen to this, and fish laid on it and bread. Hallelujah. We could go different directions with this message, but I'm going to stay on point. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And he goes on to say, this was the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. But notice something here. Jesus prepared a meal to fellowship with his disciples. You listening to me? Jesus prepared a meal to fellowship with his disciples. And if you read on, you'll find out that after, and I'm about to quit, but you'll find out that after they had eaten, Jesus began to minister to them, especially Peter. He began to minister to him. He began to give him his assignment and let him know some of the things that was ahead of him. But guess what? This happened. And there's so much more to it. We just don't have the time tonight. But this happened around the meal, fellowshipping together. Brothers and sisters, it brings glory and honor to God as sons and daughters of God when we come and we fellowship around the Word. And when we come together in fellowship in other areas around food, encouraging one another, getting to know one another, and all of you that's part of this church, I want to say this to you. Get to know your fellow church members, which I know you guys are good at it. But when we have new people come in, get to know them. Get to know them. Amen?
Amen.
They may be hurting. They may need prayer. Pray that God will speak through you something that you can say or do for them that's going to bless their lives. Because fellowship is a powerful thing. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Fellowship is a powerful thing. You ever wondered why when a man and a woman fall in love with each other, they have to touch each other, hold hands? I'm talking about holy things. Amen?
Amen.
Hold hands, lick each other in the eyes. Because touch is part of our fellowship with one another. Amen. I just got an amen from my wife, a silent one. It's a powerful thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the reason. When we tell you to greet one another, you know, it's all right to wave, but it's more powerful when you touch. Because you can be driving down the road and meet somebody you know and you wave at them. That's not the same as grabbing their hands and giving them a handshake. Can I tell you something else? I'm closing, getting ready to close. Touch is a powerful thing. If you don't believe it, watch the life of Jesus, his ministry. Remember the little children that came to him? Hallelujah. And the disciples tried to forbid them to come. He said, no, let them come. Let them come. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for love that you've given us. May we walk it out. May that love manifest in our lives like never before. Hallelujah. May our fellowship be strong as your children, because we are part of the same family. And I thank you for that. Hallelujah. If you're watching tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to extend this invitation to you right now to receive him into your heart as your Lord and as your Savior. Just ask him to come in. Ask him to come in by faith, and he'll come in. He'll forgive your sins. He'll wash you clean. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the only begotten Son of God.